It is so good to see several of our college students here today and to hear them as they have shared in this service, and we'll recognize them in just a few moments. I was thinking about college, was thinking about when I was in college a long time ago, back before the war, actually back before several wars, that's the scary thing, in which we were required to eat in the cafeteria. I was telling Parker and Ella Ray that the food was so bad, they had this dessert. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but you could turn it upside down and shake it and it would not fall out. But one thing that has not changed is, regardless of your major, regardless of your focus, regardless of what you plan to do with your life, in college there is a core curriculum. There are required subjects that everyone must take. So you have so many required subjects, and then you have electives. And you live for the electives. You can't wait until you can choose courses that you really want to take. I was talking to Joe Leonard the other night at the baseball game. We were at the Dash game, and Joe was telling me, now he is at UNC Chapel Hill, he said that he took an elective class on baseball and American history. Is that right, Joe? I would love to take that class. I would love to graduate with that degree. That's the kind of thing we'd love to be a part of. But you also have to take other classes. English, that's still a requirement. Some type of history, we called it Western civilization. Some type of science. This was my downfall in college. Because when I went to college, I knew that I was going into the ministry. I was going to be a preacher. My degree is a Bachelor of Arts in Religion and Philosophy. So when they told me I had to take biology, I could not understand why. I couldn't understand why a preacher would need biology. Now, tell Christy Thornhill I have since repented of my sin. I know now that it is necessary. And I did fairly well in biology in high school. But let me tell you what happened in college. And I'm pretty ashamed of this now. First day of biology class, and we were in a large class. There were probably 50 or 60 students in the class. The professor walks out. He's a little fella dressed in this white lab coat that goes all the way down to his ankles. And some wise guy in the back of the room said, "He looks like he's about to be shot out of a cannon." And he said it loud enough for everyone, including the professor, to hear. Things went downhill from that point on. It was the hardest class I had in college. And when midterm came, and I'm very ashamed of this, I had an F. I had never failed a subject in my life. And I realized I better do something about it. So I had a little talk with myself. I said, "Self, you better get busy, hit the books, go to the library. You better shape up or you're going to fail this class." And I'm proud to say that when the semester was over, I escaped biology with a C. Considering where I was at midterm, that's not that bad. There are required subjects that we all have to take. In the family of God, in the family of faith, there are required subjects. They're not many, but the scripture lessons that you've heard this morning talks about what God has commanded us to do. The one that Andy shared with us from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the Shema, We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. That scripture goes on to say, these words I have commanded you to write upon your heart. You are to teach them to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit down and when you stand up and when you walk by the way and when you lie down. That's why they would pray this prayer the last thing before they went to sleep at night, the first thing when they woke up in the morning. But you notice it said, you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. Have you ever seen a picture of a very Orthodox Jewish man? You know, they have the black hat and they have a little black box on their forehead. You've seen that? That is called a phylactery. And it's a black leather box, and you know what's inside of it? A parchment that has the scripture, Andy, that you read. Because they take this literally. God has commanded us. Now, we don't think God commands us to walk around with it on our forehead. But what he has commanded us is to make that a part of our life. And then the scripture that Brett read, just a couple of days before the Last Supper, they came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus quoted the Shema, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. But then he added, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then 2 days later, in the upper room, the night that he was betrayed, the night before his crucifixion, the scripture that Jillian shared with us, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment, a new required curriculum, a new mandate. The word commandment in Latin is the word maundi. That's why we call that day Maundy Thursday. Mandate Thursday, Commandment Thursday. What is the new commandment? That you love one another. It's all about love. That you love one another as I have loved you. And all of this love translates into a way of life. What does the Lord, was the word, require of thee in Micah? What does the Lord require of thee but to do justice? Some of you remember at Passport a few years ago, that was the theme. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is a message that we all need to hear more than anything else. The one thing I want to leave with you today, college students, high school students, all of us, is that we need to get back to the basics, to the required curriculum, and that is love. To love one another, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, because there is an epidemic in our country of hatred, of disparagement, of anger and contempt. We are living in what the political commentator George Will has called an age of rage, a culture of contempt, in which people are constantly tearing other people down, where people are hypercritical, where they're negative, they're always suspicious, they're always looking for something to criticize, they're prejudiced, and this destructive, negative, disparaging rhetoric sometimes bubbles over into deadly and horrific behavior that, Tori, unfortunately, you were a part of that at UNCC. last Sunday when we gathered to worship. We went to bed Saturday night mourning what had happened in El Paso. We woke up on Sunday morning with the news of another shooting in Ohio. A few weeks ago, George Will delivered the commencement address, or the baccalaureate address, at Princeton University. And he had, I think, some very insightful things to say. Just want to share a couple of things he said. He said, today there is a serrated edge to American life. This nation is awash in expressions of contempt and condescension. What are called social media, and which might more accurately be called anti-social media, seem to encourage snarky expressions of disdain. In this age of rage, he said, disparagement is the default setting for many Americans. They seem to think that expressing admiration for someone or something is evidence of deficient critical faculties. To these habitual disparagers, maturity seems a relentlessly exercised capacity for contempt. And then he challenged the graduate with these words. He said, I hope that when you are asked what you learned at this university, you will be able to say, I learned to praise. I learned to speak up in a positive way. He said, intelligent praising is a talent. It is learned. Like all virtues, it is habitual. It is a virtue that we need more of in our nation today. It is the virtue of recognizing virtue and saluting it. And so, young people, more than anything else, this is what we need in this world of hatred, in this age of rage, in this culture of contempt. We need a positive light. We need words of praise and admiration. We need people who can see the positives. We need people who can look at someone recognizing that they have been created in the image of God, and no matter how terrible that image has been tarnished, they can see the good. They can see the positive. We need to lift people up, not tear people down. We need to go to people and thank them when they have done something of virtue. We need to be people who learn to praise, because this is the Jesus way. When he said we are to love God and we are to love our neighbor, and the way the world will know that we belong to him is through our love, that we love one another, that we become communities of love rather than hatred. We become a place of light rather than darkness. That is what we need more than anything today. We all know that beautiful prayer of St. Francis. It is a prayer that talks about where there is hate, may we so love. Now, you Passport young people and children, we learned a new song at Passport this summer. The song is Lord, Make Us Servants. And you see this on your bulletin insert. You'll recognize the tune. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And I want us to stand now, and I want us to sing this together as a commitment that the Lord would use us to become instruments of his peace, to become instruments of his praise in a world of darkness. Let us stand and let us sing.